The views and opinions expressed by guests and co-hosts on Discover America podcast are not the views of Prince Nesta. I'm in Nevada, USA, the same state that on the 1st of October 2017 experienced the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. The tragic incident left 58 people dead and 546 nursing their wounds. The unbelievable incident that took place in Las Vegas, Nevada, happened only 2 months after I had arrived in the United States of America from Kenya. This is my second episode of Discover America with Prince Nesta. I'll be joined by Landy Quell Jr., a kinesiology student at the University of Nevada, Reno, who attended the ill-fated concert and luckily managed to escape unhurt. I'm Prince Nesta, and welcome to Discover America with Prince Nesta. But right now, let's take a break as we hear Sizzla Kalonji's song, I Wonder If I Will See Tomorrow. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm not sure if I will be able to see tomorrow. Living in this world of conflicts and sorrows, bodies like gold as gunmen strike bold, and the wicked people work is taking off like an arrow. I wonder.
That's Sizzla Kalonji with the song I Wonder. And in the song, Sizzla is talking about how the world has become insecure by gunmen striking bold, and no one knows if they'll be able to see tomorrow. On 1st October 2017, a 64-year-old man, Stephen Paddock, fired bullets on partygoers who were attending the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival on the Las Vegas Strip, killing 58 and injuring 546. This is Landy Quell Jr. explaining how the atmosphere was like just before the incident took place.
There's, I think it was 17,000 people on Friday night. Just craziness. Everybody's getting down, drinking, listening to some good music, and I was there for 5 hours a day, all 3 days. So, I mean, it seemed like a positive environment to me, just people having fun. I was two rows away from Jason Aldean, so I was pretty much as close as you can get without being in the VIP section. So as far as I was concerned, looking around, it seemed very normal. Nobody was moving at all. Everybody was enjoying the show. He just finished playing three songs. He played Barstool, I believe, was the last song before he started playing, When She Says Baby. So as far as just being observational, there's nothing going on that would make me raise my eyebrows by any means.
All of a sudden, all hell broke loose.
The original shots, nobody thought they were real, that's for sure. It sounded very muffled. Jason Aldean was continuing playing, and I found out later that he had both headphones in. So he had no idea what was going on anyway, so that didn't really matter for him. But the song was continuing after the first few. Kind of sounded almost like a cap gun, like originally. Like the first, like, you heard something, and I was like, I don't know what that is. It's just like, that sounds stupid, you know what I mean? And then, secondly, everybody started thinking it was a stereo malfunction because his screen started, like, flaring up and just doing some weird stuff. We couldn't really figure out what was going on with that. So then he continues playing, and then you keep hearing more. You could tell he was trying to do something, like whether or not they said it was him clearing out the windows or him just doing some test shots. Like, it wasn't he just unloaded a full clip right away. It was like a tutun, and then you hear like maybe 10 more, and then it's silence, and everybody started trying to figure out what the hell's going on. What was that? Why is, like, you know, and then all of a sudden, by the time you have a chance to catch yourself, it goes on, and then he starts bringing the heat. So then when he starts bringing the heat and it's just coming in, it just became mass hysteria. Me and the group of five I was with had no choice but to sit and stay. We didn't really have an option. It was because there's so many people behind us. If you do that in your head, on the second row, there's probably at least 18,000-19,000 people that are directly behind me, because there's no sections, it's just one big section. So there's one exit, which at the time you're not really thinking like, oh my god, there's only one exit. You're thinking, how are we going to get out of here? So a lot of things that people don't realize is that when you're in the venue, you don't think that the guy is across the street. You're not just instantly thinking, hey, that guy's on the 32nd level of the Mandalay Bay. I know where he's at. Originally, for a good 20 minutes, everybody thought the shooter was inside the venue. I truthfully have absolutely zero clue where the guy is. It's dark. There's no lights. It's an open venue. There's no cover. There's people literally trampling other people just to get out. And then on top of that, can I add that there's bullets being fired left and right of you for a good 6 to 10 minutes straight? You know what I mean? Like, it was insane. But I mean...
Welcome back. I'm Prince Nesta, and this is Discover America with Prince Nesta. If you're joining us right now, I'm joined by Landy Quell Jr., a University of Nevada, Reno student who survived one of the deadliest attacks in U.S. history, which took place in Las Vegas, leaving 58 people dead and 546 injured. At this moment in time, Landy, did you think that what was happening around you was real?
I was one of the few who truthfully didn't think it was real, just because I've been around guns for a while. So when I didn't think it was real, there's a guy behind me and he points to me and he's like, hey, there's a group of people over there pointing, you know, like, you want to go check it out? Like I said, we thought this was a prank originally, because we thought this guy was like trying to like shoot off fake gun fire and draw attention to himself. So there's a group of like 10 or 12 people in a circle, and they're all screaming like, hey, hey. They're not saying what it is. They're just saying, hey, hey. And they go and point down. And so like me and the guy are like, yeah, like, let's go fuck this dude up. Let's go show him a lesson. Like, you're literally ruining all these people's nights by faking your gunfire. You know what I mean? So then I get over there and then it's just blood. So I thought they were pointing at the fact that they got the shooter, but it was the fact that somebody had actually been shot. So that was the first guy I saw on the ground. Nobody knew what was going on. Nobody saw anything go down. You know what I mean? It was just that there was randomly one guy very close to the stage on the ground with a group of people surrounding him. So when I saw the blood, my first initial reaction was, I need to get back to my group and not necessarily cause hysteria, but try my hardest to get the point across that we need to try to get going. But by the time I got back, it was pretty clear that everybody kind of figured out that it was real. So when I get back to my group, I would say probably 30, 45 seconds after that, he starts coming again. So it's real this time, so it's nonstop. This was his first round of like just like unloading a clip. So at that time, I'm with the five girls. It's four girls and another guy that I was with originally. So at that time, we're just telling each other to get on the ground, stay safe, just basically duck and cover for the time being. And I was getting very frustrated because I was trying to push my girlfriend down, but there's another person already on the ground. And she was like sitting like crisscross applesauce, sort of like covering herself. And she's like, there's nowhere for her to go. So I was like, I'm literally going to push you like onto this person. So then we're trying to figure out from there where to go, what to do, check your surroundings, see what is going on. And when we did that, I would say personally, my initial reaction was just not a sense of fear, definitely not. It was a sense of something takes control of you in those type of moments in your lifetime. So if you haven't ever experienced a situation of like either being around a gun or a knife or a situation, they call it fight or flight. So either your initial reaction is, I'm just going to run and not think about anybody else, or I'm going to take the time, visualize, process this, and figure out where to go from here. So I took that option just because I was responsible. I felt I was responsible for not only my significant other's life, but the other females and the male that I was with. I'm responsible for them too. I took it upon myself that if I'm going to get out of here, they're going to get out of here, no matter the situation, didn't matter what. So that was my route that I took. I stuck with it. And then from there, we just kept basically moving forward. It took us a while to get out of there just because of the simple fact that when we finally had the possibility of running and sprinting and getting away from where we originally were, we actually got separated from the friend I was originally with and his girlfriend. So somehow in those 5 seconds from us getting up together as a group and saying, let's go, we just got separated. And nobody, even to this day, we still can't figure out how we're all together grabbing each other's arms, like, let's go. So we get out of the venue. There's a local police officer. I can't tell what they're doing, what's going on. They're shouting to each other saying, we don't know where he is. Supposedly there's more than one shooter, so just keep running. So we keep running, keep sprinting. People are, like I said, you can't even magnify the amount of hysteria that's going on with this many people running around with bullet wounds, blood, seeing people literally die in front of you or next to you or holding somebody as they die. And then you're running next to these people as a normal person who wasn't shot. You're trying to soak this in. So as we're in the parking lot, there's a rumor going around that there's 4 shooters. They're making sweeps of hotels, and it happens to be the New York and the Tropicana, which is the parking lot that we're in is facing them. So that was kind of interesting to feel that way. So we're in a parking lot, I would say probably 1,000 total of concert goers. And then we think we're safe, you know, like it's calmed down. We can still hear the echoes of gunfire, but we can't, like, it's not like, oh my God, it's near us, you know, like, okay, we're okay. And then as soon as we think that we made it clear, a group of like 20 to 25 people just come sprinting in from out of nowhere, didn't even know where they came from, covered in blood, saying he's coming this way. So we went from, oh my God, we made it, to holy shit, it's still going on, you know. So we basically just ran and ran and ran. And I've never had that feeling of, it didn't matter how hard I was running, it felt like somebody was going to catch me. That's how it felt for about 45 minutes of my life that night, that didn't matter which direction I ran, where I went, who I was with, that I was going to get tagged, it, you know. So I hope nobody ever has to even think about experiencing that or even watch it in a movie and get chills from it, because it's something that truthfully changes your life, truthfully.
When you finally managed to escape from the shooting, what was the mood like away from the scene of the incident?
Nobody even knows what's going on. So we get off the strip and we're on the main part, which is like we're very far down, like by M&M World, which is like a pretty good chunk away from the venue. And there's people drinking margaritas, like doing the normal Vegas thing, man. Like, you know, it's Vegas. And they're asking, hey, what's going on over there? Like, why are you guys all running this way? Why are you guys covered in blood? You know, just absolutely clueless. So on a Sunday night in Vegas, and there's people that are absolutely just lost. They don't even know that there's a shooter.
Indeed, such a touching experience. I'm joined by Landy Quill Jr., a University of Nevada, Reno student, who together with his girlfriend and his friend were present at the Las Vegas shooting but managed to escape unhurt. I'm Prince Nesta, and this is Discover America with Prince Nesta. Stay tuned and find out whether Landy's ideas of gun ownership have since changed since the incident. My producer Michael Dugan hit the streets just to find out what Americans thought about the incident. And this is what they had to say.
I was born and raised in Vegas, so I was super worried about my family and friends as soon as it happened, because like my family was on the strip that night seeing a show. So I was mostly worried about them in the beginning, and then I found out that a few of my sorority sisters were there, so I was freaked out about that too. So I was just very panicked and worried about my friends and family the whole time.
It personally doesn't shock me that people are capable of this, because we have so much openness with guns and violence and whatnot in America. You know, it just hurts that someone could do it.
Well, when I first saw it, I mean, obviously I was just like sickened by the fact that somebody could do something like that. And it's also kind of scary to see, like, you always think about stuff like that could happen. You're like, how easily someone could do something like that. And then when you see them actually go up and do it and you see that it's like actually can happen, it's just like scary and kind of disgusting.
Initially, I was just shocked about the whole situation, but like as more shootings go by, it kind of feels like the same, and I don't know, like my reactions maybe get a little numb to it because it's kind of tough to react to at first, but the more times it happens, you kind of get used to it almost.
I was pretty shocked to find out like how that happened. I remember like being on like Twitter and like seeing like something about a shooting in Las Vegas, and then as it like progressed, like the scale at which it was at, and like we had friends that like had friends and family who lived in Vegas who were like at the event or like in that area. Yeah, it was pretty sad to see that it being like the largest like mass shooting in America is pretty like scary to think about.
Welcome back, I'm Prince Nesta on Discover America with Prince Nesta. Now, Landy, have your ideas about gun ownership changed ever since you survived the incident?
As a proud survivor, happy to be here, happy to be alive, I have not changed my views. It's very frustrating for me to watch a television, watch somebody go up there and say, you know what, we need to change this, this is why this happened. If you're going to tell me that this guy would have not have done what he'd done if all guns were banned, you're lying to yourself. First off, automatic weapons have been banned in the United States since 86. So the fact that this guy bought this automatic rifle, it wouldn't have mattered if you had this law or not. It really doesn't matter. So as far as I'm concerned, no, my thought has not changed. I prefer that people who go through the proper classes, get the proper classification, are educated on their weapon, they know how to use a weapon. Yes, you can carry a weapon. I am perfectly okay with that. And for those who just want to ban guns altogether, I hope you realize that you're putting yourself more at risk than just keeping it the way it is. There's criminals for a reason. There always will be. That's how life goes. So you have your law followers and you have your law breakers. People who view that laws need to be broken. People who view that you need to follow the law to live a successful life. So if you truly believe that banning every single gun, every single weapon possible, that you don't think a guy can make a weapon out of a pipe or a frozen whatever it may be, you're just being ignorant. You're being oblivious.
While Landy's opinion still remains that people should still keep their guns, we hit the streets to find out what Americans thought about gun ownership just after the incident. This is what they had to say.
It's like, we don't need these guns. And the fact that, like, people try to uphold the Second Amendment, they're like, oh, it's in the Constitution. I'm like, first of all, there's been racist things in the Constitution. We've had to add things to the Constitution. And when they wrote that, guns were very simplistic and not at all like what we have today. So it's not a matter of trying to take guns away, but just being more reasonable about the fact that they should be regulated.
Personally, growing up in a household with guns all over the place, I see no problem with owning a gun. And so it hurts that people ruin our liberties like that. But it's changed a little bit. It's definitely made me think that there needs to be more restrictions. I don't know how to implement those restrictions, but it'd be important to know the issues and vote for people who are interested in changing, because we need change.
A little bit. I haven't really thought about it too much because it never really truly affected me. But I think because everything that happened, I want them to be stricter, but it doesn't seem to be happening. So
my family wasn't really into guns, so there's like a lot of like specific like details, especially with gun control, that a lot of people like have about. But yeah, also I think that it shouldn't be too that easy to like acquire that amount of weapons without someone like getting suspicious about it. But at the same time, it's like, if you can have these laws to place, like, it's not going to be that simple for people to like not go out and buy guns.
My opinions on gun laws, I haven't looked into it a whole lot, but I think like some guns should be legal, but like it shouldn't be restricting some of them, like maybe like handguns and stuff, but assault rifles and things like that, I don't think should be very easy to get.
So for me, growing up, my family never had guns, so I've never really had like a super strong opinion on guns. I realized that like at the point that we're at in the country, it would be so hard to take them back that that's probably not the right answer. But at the same time, like, I don't think it should be so easy for people to just get like 30 like automatic rifles, even though he did alter them, which is illegal. And you have the argument of like illegal people are going to keep doing illegal things, but it's a hard question.
Now, Landy, on to my last question. If after the incident the shooter would still be alive and you got a chance to ask him just one question, what would you ask him?
See, that's a very good question. I haven't even thought about that myself. It's very tough to put yourself in that kind of kind mindset with knowing what he's done. But I would truthfully ask the man, do you know the consequences of your action that you just performed? Like, do you truthfully understand the magnitude of emotions, just overall life, what you just did? So not only did you take away somebody's ability to go home for those 59 people that did pass, but you also wounded over 500, and you might have absolutely dramatically changed someone's life. Someone that was just living their everyday life, spending their night at a concert, and the next day they can't walk, or the next day they're on life support, or the next day they're blind. Like, do you truthfully understand what you just did? And I would want to hear him out, because like I just said, that's how I am. But I'd be hard pressed to try to figure out his reasoning.
When my producer Michael Dugan posed the same question to Americans about what they would ask the shooter if he would have been alive, this is what they had to say.
I don't even know if I could speak to him. I think I'd just be too distraught and like not able to like communicate at all.
It'd be tough to say something I'd want to. I really would. You're a monster. That's all I can get out.
I don't know. It's just kind of, I don't think I'd have anything to say for him.
I would try to remind him of the impact that that has on all the families, and try to make him see that it wasn't just a crowd of nameless strangers that he was shooting into, but they were each someone that people loved and had friends and family, and so many people lost mothers and fathers and siblings and husbands and spouses, that it just, I try to remind him of his humanity so that he would, I guess, rethink doing something like that. But honestly, sometimes you can't really reason with people, and you just have to accept that.
I'll just like ask what made his decision to like, you know, plan out exactly that he was gonna like target this specific group, like this concert, like what was his thought process into like thinking like, I'm gonna take 30 guns, I'm gonna do all this, like actual stuff. Like, he actually put thought into it and, like, did this. Like, why did he do that? What triggered his, like, brain to, like, think?
Well, probably if he was still alive, I think the craziest thing is that even with all the power that these government agencies have, they still haven't figured out why he did it. I would want to know why he did it. Like, you can't just, like, you have to be pretty crazy to just want to randomly do something like that. And, like, I know that terrorist groups are saying they're claiming that they did it, but, like, how are we supposed to believe them? I would want to know why he would just randomly all of a sudden do it.
That's it, folks. Thank you very much for tuning in to the Las Vegas episode of Discover America with Prince Nestor. I'd like to say that for the 7 years that I've been a radio broadcaster, this perhaps has to be one of the toughest episodes that I've ever done in my life. Thank you so much for the support of my three amazing producers, Michael Dugan, Olivia Caboni, and EJ Papa. My sincere gratitude and special thanks for your support and ideas. To the victims who lost their lives, may you rest in eternal peace. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet again on that beautiful show. No one deserves to die in such a way. I'm Prince Nestor. Follow me on Twitter at Prince Nestor, on Instagram at Prince Nestor Radio, and on Facebook at Prince Nestor. Bye for now. Take care and see you later.